Once again, this is Jim Rao. We're going to be speaking about the judgments of the Lord, and I have three particular judgments that I'm going to be talking about today. The first is that we can judge ourselves in relationship to our stance with the Lord, that we can actually judge ourselves. And the second is that God will judge us, and He will chasten us, and He will discipline us, just as He does His sons across the earth, just as our earthly fathers chastened and disciplined us. And the third judgment that I'm going to be speaking about is that final judgment as a believer. And I'm speaking to Christians here. I'm speaking to those who believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, that we are going to stand before the Lord in the final judgment. We're going to stand before Him and have an accounting of everything that we have done here on this earth in the body. And we're going to have an accounting of all of our deeds, whether good or bad, as we stand before the Lord. So those are the three judgments that we're going to look at today. And the first is in relationship to God, that we can examine ourselves, and we can examine ourselves as we take and partake of the Lord's Supper. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 28, Paul tells the Corinthians, "Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world." And so Paul brings up many points here. This is a deep passage of Scripture, but it's in relation to the Lord's Supper. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, and I assume as a Christian that you look forward to partaking of the Lord's Supper, that you do that on a regular basis. If you don't, you can do it today right there in your home. You don't need to wait together as a corporate body in a church somewhere. You can take the Lord's Supper right there where you are today. And Paul says, let a man examine himself. And so the purpose of the Lord's Supper is so that we can look at our own life, that we can hold a mirror up to our own life, and we can look at it, and we can examine ourselves, and we can peer into our soul, we can peer into our heart, and we can peer into our actions and our daily walk, and we can say, Lord, how am I offending you? Lord, how am I sinning against my Father in heaven and my brothers here on this earth? Lord, how am I not upholding the commandments that you have given me? And Jesus said through the Apostle John, if anyone claims that he is a believer, if anyone claims to know Jesus Christ and he does not keep his commandments, that man is a liar. So each of us has to stand before the Lord. When we examine ourselves, when we look at our own life, and we stand before the Lord preparing to take the Lord's Supper, which is to eat of the bread, which reminds us of His broken body on the cross, and we drink of the cup, which reminds us of His spilled blood on the cross and at the whipping post, and all of the other ways that Jesus shed His precious blood for us. When we partake of those things, as Paul says in verse 29, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself. In other words, you stand before the Lord and you say, Lord, I come before you. I want to be cleansed by you. I want to stand before you with a good conscience. I want you to break every chain off of my life, and you pour your precious blood out over me. Your grace is sufficient for me. And when you stand before the Lord and you partake of the Lord's Supper, if you are not coming clean with the things in your life that you need to come clean with, if you are not repenting of the sins that are besetting you and the sins that are holding you back, and you are not moving forward in the kingdom and into your destiny, then you are bringing judgment upon yourself. You eat and drink judgment upon yourself, not discerning the Lord's body. And then Paul goes on to say in verse 30, for this reason that is that you've brought judgment upon yourself. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Well, what's he saying here? He's saying many people have sickness because they're not living right with the Lord. Many people have illness, mental illness, physical illness, because they're not living right with the Lord. I believe, beloved, that there is a supernatural blessing in walking with the Lord. There is a supernatural blessing not only on your spiritual walk, not only on your spiritual life, your calling, and your eventual abiding with the Lord in heaven for all eternity, but there is a blessing on your body, on your physical body. And I believe that the Lord wants to bless your physical body if you will walk with Him. And of course, we know there are many sins that people get entangled with involving physical degradation. Quickly, physical degradation comes upon their body, smoking and drinking and drug use, methamphetamines and cocaine, heroin. All those drugs are very destructive to the physical body and to the soul and to the spirit. And so the Lord is giving us an alternative to judgment upon ourselves. He's saying through the Apostle Paul here, for this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. And so we give a judgment to ourselves, and we come before the Lord, and we ask the Lord to cleanse us. We ask the Lord to purify us. We ask the Lord to burn out anything in our life that does not bring glory and honor to Him. And we ask the Lord to just set us free from bondage that is holding us back, from spirits of the devil that have entered into our life and oppressed us. And if we do that, Paul says that we would not be judged by the Lord. In other words, we save the Lord that time. We save the Lord that obligation that He has to judge us when we do it ourselves. In other words, we spare the Lord from doing that when we judge ourselves, because we take it upon ourselves. We take that burden upon ourselves to judge ourselves and make the corrections that need to be made in our life so that we can walk in a pure and a holy manner with the Lord and before Him. And so we take that judgment upon ourselves, and we do it ourselves, and we initiate, and we move forward in that judgment upon ourselves to make the corrections and necessary changes in our life so that we can stand before the Lord, and He does not have to chasten us, and He does not have to inflict pain upon us, so that we get corrected as we move forward. And then in verse 32, Paul says, when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. And so God allows pain to come into our life. He allows chastening to come into our life. And He does that for a reason. He does that because He is a righteous and a holy God. He cannot abide sin. And when He chastens us, when He disciplines us, then we get right with Him, and we are not condemned. We do not fall into condemnation. We do not backslide and eventually come to the point where we no longer accept the Lord. We no longer speak agreement with the Lord. And so when we are judged and chastened, we are brought back into agreement and brought back into alignment with what God has for us here on this earth. Well, that brings me to the second point, and God's judgment involves chastening. God's judgment involves discipline, and God's judgment oftentimes involves pain. And Paul talks about this, or the writer of Hebrews, which I believe is Paul, talks about this in Hebrews 12, verse 5. And Paul, speaking to Christians, he said, "Have you forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons? My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens, and He scourges every son whom He receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. And what son is there whom a father does not chasten?" If you think back to your childhood, and I'm sure you did not appreciate the chastening that you had from your earthly father. I know I didn't. There were many times when I deserved it, many times when I got it. There was probably many times when I did deserve it and I didn't get it. because of the grace of my father, or he was just too busy to chasten and discipline me at certain times in my life. But we don't always appreciate it. We don't always say, thank you, God, for that spanking, or thank you, Father, for grounding me for a week. Thank you for taking my cell phone away or taking my privileges away. We don't always appreciate it and thank our earthly fathers. And so we don't always appreciate it when God chastens us and when God disciplines us and when God spanks us. We don't always appreciate it. We don't always understand that this is for our good, that he is doing this. He is chastening us so that we can be brought back into alignment with him and back into agreement with him. Verse 6, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and he scourges every son whom he receives. And so just as you were loved by your earthly father, and I know some of you probably weren't, maybe some of you out there listening today, you didn't even know your earthly father, and so you had no relationship with him, but I can tell you that somebody loved you, somebody cared about you, somebody spanked you, somebody disciplined you, and just as our earthly caretakers and those that God has put in authority over us care about us and discipline us and chasten us, so too, just as we have been chastened by our earthly father, so too our heavenly father chastens us, he disciplines us, he scolds us, sometimes he brings pain into our life, and it is for our benefit, it is for our profit, it is for us to get in alignment with what God has for us, and it is for us to get in agreement with the destiny and the calling that he has over us. Verse 10 in that Hebrews chapter 12, but our earthly fathers indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but God chastens us for our profit, for our benefit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. And this is a subject that most people don't want to talk about these days. We have apostasy in the land. We have people basically pursuing their carnal pursuits, and sexual immorality is not only tolerated and diversity is tolerated in terms of sexual immorality, but it is celebrated in the most awful and outlandish ways, gay pride parades and all kinds of street fairs that are demonic in nature and full of debauchery and full of sexual immorality. And so we not only tolerate, but we celebrate this stuff. And so God wants us to be holy. The opposite of what you see happening in many places here in America is God's desire for us to be holy. He does not want us to go with the world. He does not want us to just accept the ways of the world and say, well, everybody else is doing it. Everybody else is shacking up with their girlfriend or their boyfriend. Everybody else is indulging their flesh in every way that they can, and entertainment dominates their life, and sexual immorality dominates their life, and feeling good, and it's all about me, and it's all about my selfish desires. No, God says, I want you to be holy. This is the message that I have for you. I want you to be holy, that he created us to be a holy priesthood, a chosen generation, a peculiar people, and it is his desire that we forsake and abandon all of those carnal pursuits and all of those fleshly indulgences that are taking over the culture, and it is God's will that we be holy and that we purify ourselves as we stand before him, and we let him purify us. Well, verse 11, it says, now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. And so it is God's will that we be trained by chastening. It is God's will that we be trained by discipline. And I would just say, brothers and sisters, if you have a spirit of rebellion and you chafe at the discipline of the Lord, if you have chafed at his discipline and you stand before him today and you're shaking your fist at God and you're mad at him because he's brought pain or he's brought discomfort or he's stripped away from you some of the things that you like to do that are indulging the flesh and carnal, if you are mad at God about that, I pray that you just give it up today, that you leave those things behind and you start to take care of your spiritual walk, you start to take care of your holy temple that God has given you to be a caretaker of it, and you ask the Lord to continue to strengthen your walk, that you would be conformed into the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. Romans 8:29 says that those that he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed into the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. And so it is God's will that you be conformed into the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. It is his will that you be holy, just as Jesus Christ was holy, that you look like Jesus as you go about your daily work and as you go about your life here, that you continue to seek him, that you continue to strive to be a better person, that you continue to strive to be a holy person, that you continue to strive to spend more time in prayer and in Bible study and in fasting and in fellowship, those weapons of warfare, those spiritual weapons that will strengthen you against the enemy and strengthen your walk with the Lord. And so that you would also avoid that painful chastening. You would also avoid that painful discipline that when God brings that into our life, nevertheless, he says, Paul says, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. And isn't that what we want? We want that peaceable fruit of righteousness. We want to be righteous. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And also righteousness exalts an individual, and sin is a reproach to any individual. And so I pray if you're listening out there today to me and you are being beset by some sin or some bondage to the evil one, and the fiery darts of the evil one continue to knock you down and continue to pierce through your armor, you pray for God to give you the strength. You pray for God to bring chastening and burn out with his fire those things out of you that do not bring glory and honor to him. You pray, God, burn it out. Bring it to me. And one of the best ways to do this is to spend time in fasting, spend time in prayer, and ask the Lord to bring his fiery furnace upon you, his fiery cleansing upon you. If you allow it to come into your life and you just say, thank you, Lord, for this chastening. Thank you, Lord, for this pain that I have. Thank you for this tribulation and this trial, Lord, that is going to bring you closer to me and me closer to you. Well, we are the temple of the Holy God. Our bodies, our physical bodies, are God's temple. His Spirit resides in us. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16, Paul says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. But those who are outside the body of Christ or those who are outside the fellowship, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil person. And so we don't have to worry about judging those people outside the body. We don't have to worry about those people that are not in the fellowship, that are not believers. God will take care of them. His perfect judgment, his perfect sight looks upon their life, and he will mete out to them the judgment that they deserve, not only here on this earth, but for all eternity. And so we don't have to worry about them. We don't have to concern ourselves with their judgment. We do have to concern ourselves with our own holy temple, with our own holiness, with our own righteousness. And Paul says, if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Well, we do not want to put God in that position where he has to destroy our holy temple, and some people who are in a state of rebellion are taken off this earth. I'm sure you can remember people or recognize people in your own life who were very rebellious to the Lord, and God took them off this earth way before their time, way before their days were numbered. And so God took them off this earth to spare his name, to keep his name from being shamed. God may have known what they were headed towards, what their future was, and he said, I'm not going to let you go there. I'm going to bring you home before it gets any worse. Well, the last judgment of the Lord I'm going to speak about, I'm going to be very brief here, is that individual judgment at the end of our time on this earth. Therefore, we make it our aim, 2 Corinthians 5:9. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust we are well known in your consciences. And so Paul says that we're going to stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. Therefore, we make it our aim to be well-pleasing to him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, whether good or bad. And so we're going to have to make an account when you stand before the Lord. There's going to be a movie of your life that is going to be shown to you, and you're going to have to stand there and look at everything you've done, whether good or bad. And this is not in regards to salvation. This judgment is not in regards to whether you are saved. It is in regards to the crowns and the rewards and the blessings that you'll receive in your heavenly home as you abide with the Lord for all eternity. And I pray, beloved, that you keep that seen in your mind, you keep that thought in your mind, that you're going to have to stand before the Lord and make an account of everything you do. And I pray that that would motivate you and stimulate you to good deeds here on this earth in your body. We have contact information coming up here in just a minute. I pray that you would partner with this ministry. We're getting ready to go to Africa again for the sixth year to do crusades and revival meetings. I pray that you would partner with this ministry. We need your support. We need your partnership. We need your blessing. We need your prayers. And so stay tuned for the contact information here in just a minute. God bless you. Thank you. Have a great week.